Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Things are about to get a bit steamy. The romance genre has been getting bigger and bigger as readers voraciously seek escapism and put their money where their mouths are. In fact, as of last year, romance, get this, this is a stat. Romance accounted for 15% of all adult fiction sales in New Zealand. 15%. Francis Liu is the owner and operator of Chapters Book and Tea Shop in Auckland's Mount Eden. And Francis is also the host of a Romance Readers Club, which just passed its 1 year anniversary. And Francis joins me now in the Auckland studio. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Emil.
It's nice to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
When we talk about romance as a genre, what are we talking about?
It's a genre where the romance is the main element of the book. So there may be lots of different types of fiction where romance might be a component of the book. Yeah. But for a romance book, the romance is the key element. And certainly traditionally, there was an expectation on the reader's part of an ending that was a happy ever after.
Right.
Although more recently we do have endings perhaps which are more in the happy for now category. Mm. But the lines are blurring, and interestingly, I have seen commentary where some of the women's fiction is getting pretty close to romance or even marketed as romance. Some of the biggest writers of romance books are probably straddling that boundary between romance and women's fiction. And those are names like Colleen Hoover and Emily Henry, who would also be well known in New Zealand as well as in America.
And I suppose, I mean, that makes sense in a way, right? And that because romance sells. Romance really, really sells.
Romance does sell, but historically, although it was a commercial genre, I think it was looked down upon.
Yeah.
Like when it was compared to, say, literary fiction, I think it was considered to be a lower form of fiction. I think there was a belief that romance books were very formulaic, that you could probably, you know, roll one out every month, that if you were a writer of anything, that you too could write a romance book. And I think that romance writers would probably rightly say, if you think you can do it, prove it. But it's very interesting because what we've seen through the pandemic, book talk, kind of this emergence of girl power, whether it's, you know, the Bridgerton series, whether it's the success of the Taylor Swift Eras tour, the Barbie movie, things where you've traditionally had them being produced by women for women were looked down upon. They were kind of lesser. But I think in recent times, we're moving past that. And I think perhaps whether it's the commercial success and the fact that at the end of the day, business definitely will listen to money, or the other thought is that we're getting more younger Gen Z people with purchasing power who, you know, think it's cool to be a romance reader.
Yeah.
You know, and romance sales, as you say, are booming. And so those perceptions are changing.
Do you think there was any truth to the idea that maybe once upon a time romance novels were maybe a bit more formulaic? Maybe, because I guess the comparison point that my mind immediately went to was like crime fiction, which often the same accusations are levelled at crime fiction, that there are formulas and things go through, you know, stages, and if you pay really close attention, then maybe you can work out who did it, but you'll have to pay pretty close attention. That doesn't make it a less, artistically fulfilling or a worse genre of fiction, though.
Possibly that whole formulaic, thought comes from perhaps the series, the category romances,
right, yeah.
You know, your Harlequins, your
Mills and Booms, yeah.
Where shorter novels, the page count was predetermined, the editors knew what the demand was, so they would give guidelines in terms of what they were looking to see. And one of the changes is we now have this era of self-publishing. So you could choose a book which was just not picked up by a traditional publisher.
Yeah.
And it might be a one in a million or billion chance, but, you know, your book could go viral. So there is, I think, more ability to break boundaries. But having said all of that, there are certain tropes that, you know, people might enjoy, whether
yeah.
it's enemies to lovers, marriage, you know, marriage of convenience, forbidden love, those kind of things. So it's a question, I suppose, as to providing the audience what they're looking for. And to some extent, I guess that's definitely been in something in romance's favour, because with the pandemic, people were stuck at home, you know, less things to do, so there was a pickup in reading.
Yeah.
And I guess with all the scary news and the reportings of death and all of this, people were looking for some escapism, happy endings, and intertwined with that, there was less ability to socialise. And so TikTok, I think, also grew in popularity.
Yeah.
And then you had this little subgenre called BookTok, and it was very important for romance. Romance just took off. And a couple of the authors that I mentioned, the American authors such as Colleen Hoover and Emily Henry, not only were their current novels successful, but the weirdest thing was that their backlist
right.
was also very successful. And even the Bridgerton series, Julia Quinn wrote the first book in that series 20 years ago, you know, and here it is becoming popular now. And her books were on the bestseller list just for months and still are.
Do you draw a distinction between romance fiction and, you know, what someone might describe as like smut or erotica, or, you know, books or fiction that's designed to titillate?
I would see erotica as probably being a subgenre
right.
of romance.
Yeah.
So romance is the overarching genre, and then within that we might have contemporary romance, romantic suspense, historical romance, time travel romance. At the moment, the big mover is romanticy or fantasy
yeah.
romance or romantic fantasy. That's been huge in recent times, paranormal romance. So erotica, I would see as being a subgenre.
Yeah, of the broader romance umbrella.
Yeah. Mm.
You mentioned the idea that romanticism is a big thing at the moment, and you brought in some books tonight to sort of demonstrate some of the work that's going around at the moment. And we wonder whether you've got one there, which would that fall into the category of romanticism, this Nalini Singh book?
Probably more in the paranormal romance.
Right.
So
okay.
The difference is subtle, but the paranormal romance, I think, combines the real world with elements of, you know, fantasy or science fiction, whereas the fantasy romance is more combining, you know, real fantasy with romance.
Right.
So there are distinctions. And yes, I have brought in a book by Nalini Singh, who was born in Fiji but has been living in New Zealand since she was young. She was educated here, and she's probably New Zealand's most successful writer that New Zealanders in general have never heard of.
Yeah.
So I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about one of her books.
Well, I mean, but just before we get to that, you say a very successful novelist. You suggested earlier to me that when we were off here that you reckon a few years ago she'd sold 7 million books.
Yes, worldwide. So she's hit the New York Times bestsellers list multiple times and won multiple awards, translated into multiple languages. But yes, as of a book launch that I hosted for her several years ago, she had sold over 7 million copies.
Which is, I was gobsmacked when you said that, but I suppose it makes sense. Tell us a bit about the book that you've brought in by Nalini Singh. What's it called?
So the book I've brought in is called Slave to Sensation, and it's the first book in a series called the Psy Changeling series. Mm-hmm. It's set into the future, and it's a world in which essentially there are three races. There's the humans, mm-hmm. Then there are the Psy, which have evolved from the humans, but are characterised by the fact that they've been trained to be emotionless, and they have strong, or some of them at least, have strong psychic powers. And then also in this world we have the changelings, or shapeshifters. And this particular book is the story of Sasha, who was the daughter of one of the ruling Psy Council, who's supposedly a strong Psy, mm-hmm. but feels broken because she can feel emotion and this is forbidden. And it's a story of her and a, I guess, forbidden romance with Lucas, who is a Black Panther and the alpha leader of the Dark River Leopard Pack. And together they work on, I guess, solving a mystery of a serial killer. So it's got elements of romance, fantasy, suspense, but it was the first book in what eventually became, and still is, a long-running series.
When you first read it, did you realise when you were reading it that you're reading something of, like, real quality here?
Yes, I did, and it was interesting when I read it because up until then, because of what I'd read when I was young, I was primarily a person that read historical romance and contemporary romance, and I didn't really read much paranormal romance. But I saw this book and saw that it had been recommended by one of the best-selling authors of paranormal romance, and that author was called Christine Fian. And I thought, we've got a New Zealand author being recommended by Christine Fian, who was like a queen of that genre. And I thought, I'm going to give it a go. And I really enjoyed it. And subsequently I found out that Nalini had only had a contract for 2 books at that stage. Mm-hmm. And so it's fair to say that, you know, after the first 2 books, the world building became bigger.
Right.
As she was, you know, given the option, or once she had the certainty that the series was going to continue. And sure enough, the first part of the series was 15 books, and she's now on to the second part of the series.
Wow.
Plus she's done another series, and she writes, as well as the paranormal romance, she's also self-publishing contemporary romance, and she has released 3 thrillers as well.
Gee.
So very prolific.
Yeah. How does she find the time? My word. Maybe we'll see if we can get her on and ask her. Now, I'm curious about, you host these romance readers club. You just passed your 1 year anniversary. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What do you discuss? What are they like, these clubs?
Okay, so It's fair to say that the reason we started off the Auckland Romance Readers Book Club was because we got an inquiry from someone, a person called Ella, and she'd moved to Auckland. And she contacted us because she knew we were a specialty romance bookstore to find out, was there a Auckland romance, or was there a Romance Readers Book Club? And we didn't know of one, so we put the word out on Facebook to sort of say, is there such a thing? And we basically found out that there didn't seem to be, but that there was potential interest in joining one. So we thought, well, if no one else is going to do it, we would start one off. And so we held our first meeting in March 2023, and then we decided what the essential, I guess, direction of the club would be. And the general consensus was that people wanted to try different genres, and we also wanted to promote New Zealand authors. So what we've actually done is choose books of different genres, so we rotate them. We do try and get books that are well represented in either the Auckland Library System or available on something like Kindle Unlimited, so that there's good access. But in a couple of cases, we've had New Zealand authors that have actually provided us reading copies as well. And what we discuss really depends upon the moderator. Yeah. So they'll dream up a list of questions. And generally, I suppose what it comes down to is what we think of the main protagonists and story, the plot, whether we enjoyed the book, how much, whether we would read other books by that particular author, you know, whether there were elements of the book that we didn't enjoy or felt could be improved, and things like that. But it's just generally pretty much discussing a book. The only difference
it's
being
like a book
that,
shop.
being that it will be about a romance book. But having said all that, there's quite a lot of diversity in the themes as well, and that's possibly why there is that blurring of the line sometimes with women's fiction, because there can be relationship issues, there can be trauma. And so how the author resolves those, you know, we might discuss, you know, what our opinions are of those subjects.
We have about 25 seconds left before the news, but I just wanted to ask, for people who are interested in getting into romance fiction, what would a good starting point be, do you think?
Well, it does depend what their personal preference is, but I should perhaps give a plug for the biggest book of 2023 in New Zealand, which was Fourth Wing, if you're interested in romanticy.
Fourth Wing. Great stuff. Frances Liu, thanks so much for your time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.